election was not a fluke. Okay, that's the message here. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC, live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain, and we are making radio great again. Look, to all of you clowns in Congress, the Trump's ascendancy to the presidency was not some crazy accident. No, right. It wasn't Russia. It wasn't I'm convinced that some of these people believe their own BS. It wasn't because Russia hacked the election. It also wasn't because, oh, a handful of hillbillies in a handful of states just happened to show up at the polls. The issues that Trump campaigned on, the campaign promises that he made, are ones that people want to have happen. And they're Trump's to break, is the more important point. And guess who knows that? The Democrats and the Republicans in Congress who want Trump to fail. It's simple. Do you remember, by the way, back, and we'll go back 8 years, two observations. Obama had just won the election. He was forcing through Congress his signature health care bill, right? The Affordable Care Act. And what was going on? Obama was walking around berating Republicans saying elections have consequences. And by the way, John McCain, go sit at the back of the bus because, you know, get with the program. Hey, John, you lost. You remember that exchange? And the other thing, perplexing as it seems now, the Democrats weren't running around apologizing for their president. The Democrats were going around saying, hey, we won. We're the party in power. We got both houses of Congress. Kiss our hineys. That's what they were saying. That was the gist of it. And the reason you got to understand why it's clear why the Democrats are opposing Trump. Different motivations, perhaps, depending on which Democrat. But for the most part, it's clear why the Democrats are opposing Trump. But here's what you got to understand. Republicans, many Republicans in Congress are opposing Trump as well. And if you're scratching your heads wondering why, I have an answer for you. It's called human nature. When you're in the swamp and somebody comes along and says, I'm going to clean the swamp out. That's not a good thing for you. It's not. I'll give you an example here from real life. Okay. I don't even have to go too far in this. I've been working in my field since 1999. I was 19 years old. And, you know, actually, back then, the internet was still a fairly new thing. And certainly it was not common for attorneys, for attorneys to have websites. And I still remember, I don't have to go back to 99. I can go back maybe 10 years. Talking to lawyers, successful people in my field, who were actually telling me, no, Sam, I'm not, you guys are doing a website? What? Like, no, we don't need to be on the internet. It's a fad. It's a thing. It's just, you know, it's not here to stay. Facebook? That's for kids. Twitter? Don't need that. And meanwhile, as they were poo-pooing all these different things that were coming along, this new technology, the entire face, the entire world of advertising, certainly in my field, evolved dramatically. And there were these storied firms, you know, people, big guys in the business, multi-million dollar law firms that basically dwindled and shriveled up and shrunk and disappeared. And this is because things change. Things evolve. And just, and it's not just economic things, right? It's not just businesses. It is human nature to think that, it is human nature to resist change, to mock it. It's a common human condition, and it is 100% happening right now in the world of politics. This is why all those talking heads, dummies at at MSNBC and CNN and the Washington Post and the New York Times, it's not just mere ideological opposition to Trump. There is also this refusal to accept that this election, that there was something more to it beyond just an accident, a whoopsie daisy. If it weren't for Hillary stumbling and falling, leaving the 9/11 memorial, maybe she would have won the election. If it wasn't for Russia hacking John Podesta's email, maybe Hillary would have won. The economy was kind of bad and people wanted change and they wanted, they're racist. That's what it is. They're racist. We'll go with that narrative for a few weeks. And where this all gets kind of sad and frustrating is, I'm fine if Congress isn't popular, right? Nobody likes Congress, and Congress's approval ratings are even worse than the president's. But what I don't want to have happen is for Trump to forget that he is in office for a reason. And it's not because of his cute, charming personality. People were willing to overlook all of his rough edges because they liked the substance of his political promises. That's a fact. See, because if you're a Democrat and you're going, I don't know, this clown, Jesus, how did this buffoon become president of the United States? The answer is really simple. A majority of people in a majority of states decided that they wanted to have him be president because they liked what he was saying. And it wasn't about the tape. It wasn't about the attack on the Gold Star families. It wasn't about Miss Piggy. It had everything to do with, the border wall. Let's start with that. See, that's a real thing. Chuck Schumer, the Democratic minority leader, he may not actually really get it fundamentally, but he understands politically he has to oppose it because he has to sing to his base. He has to earn support from his base. The Democrats are raising a huge amount of dollars off of this. They want a government shutdown. And Republicans, traditionally, right, congressional Republicans, are turning to little pussycats when it comes to government shutdowns. Oh, no, we don't want to be the mean, rascally Republicans that are shutting down the wall. I mean, the Republicans are just scared little ninnies. And this is nothing new. My only concern is I want Trump to keep his word, because anything short of that is a victory for the setup that both the Democrats and the institutional Republicans, the other occupants of the swamp, the setup against Trump, they want Trump to fail. Make no mistake about it. At the end of the day, there is very little daylight between Chuck Schumer and, say, Mitch McConnell. Those two are far friendlier with one another than either of them are to Trump. They see Trump as an outsider. They see him as somebody who doesn't belong. Trump and the whole Trump entourage, everybody who's in the White House, you read the news stories about how on the outside they are in Washington. They've come in and nobody wants to be their friend, and you know, and they move into the, they buy a nice house in the neighborhood and their neighbors all scowl at them. This reminds me of when we moved right during the election, and the first thing we did is we put up some yard signs, some Trump signs in our yard, and and immediately earned some scowls from our neighbors. But the point is it doesn't, Republican, Democrat, if you've been in Washington 20 years, that's your home. It doesn't matter where your home district is. It doesn't matter where your home base is. Doesn't matter who you're supposedly representing. Guess what? Your life is cocktail parties, eating fine French food at Michelin-starred restaurants in Georgetown. That's your life. And you and I, okay, the simple, you know, working schmucks that are going, you know, they're paying taxes and killing ourselves to fund this ridiculous government. Hey, we're just along for the ride, and they're laughing at us. You want to know why I like Trump from the get-go, right? And if you follow this program for a while, you know that I'm one of the early voices on the radio, on the conservative right, that supported Trump. I was willing to get behind him because for me, this is the biggest issue. Same old, Republican, Democrat goes to Washington, gets nothing done. And immigration. This is why immigration, this is why the border wall is so important, because this is an example where both sides cater to their bases. The Democrats say, "Oh, we want immigrants. We want a mix of people, and we want to be welcoming, and we want to love." And Republicans say to their base, "Stop illegal immigration." And they both monetize this issue, meaning they fundraise off of it. And then come legislative time, they get into the halls of Congress, and what happens? Well, the dirty secret is that the Republicans really want the same thing that the Democrats do, but for different reasons. The Republicans, right, these institutional, just political hack Republicans, they want what the big corporations want, cheap labor. And you know what else? They don't want to fix the problem because they need to use it in their efforts to continue raising money. If we build a wall and fix it, I mean, you understand, right, that a wall, there's nothing racist about a wall. I don't want to even hear that again. If you think that, you are a total idiot. Racist? A wall? How is a wall racist? Do you not lock your front door? I'm beyond confused. This isn't racism. This is about citizenship. This is about security. This is about drugs. This is about things coming across the border, people, weapons, nuclear material. I mean, I'm apoplectic. Pardon me, if I sound like I'm about to have an aneurysm, don't worry. We don't have a doctor in the house, but Robbie, I think Robbie could administer first aid if push came to shove. I'm as angry about this as you are. I want you to know that. Now, do I think Trump is actually going to cave? No, because I'm an optimist. There's something about me. There are a lot of people right now in the media on the conservative right that are just pessimistic and hand-wringing. I will tell you this. What I know of Trump is that he is he's a survivor, and he understands that he has to be tactical, but he knows what the bargain was with his voter. He understands that. And this issue, this securing the border issue, is something that I think he really actually believes in. I don't think it's a discardable item for him. And I'll tell you, you got to understand that this budget too, but just this little small side point, this budget here, this is only 5 months of the fiscal year, and we renew the next year come October for 2018. And Trump's already saying, I'm going to take the fight to the 2018 budget. I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to wait for then. I'm okay with that. But if this is a promise he doesn't keep, he's toast. He's toast. And I'll tell you this, too. Think about all the people, all those Swamp Thing congressmen and senators. What would they like more than anything? For Trump to be toast with his own voters. That's what they want. That's the agenda here. And it has nothing to do with the people that they profess to represent. It's all a load of horse crap. All right, back right after this.
Talk Radio.
KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. And if you do want to be on the program, 800-222-5222 is the number. And always can email me, too, at sam@samnation.com. All right, a lot of talk today about the border wall and if it really is going to happen. And the perplexing thing here is just how little resolve there is politically from the Republicans to get behind Trump. And when you think about it, these guys ought to be, you would think. I mean, they won. They won 2016. It was an earthquake. They got exactly what no one predicted. Right? Conventional wisdom was that they would lose the House, they would lose the Senate, and Hillary Clinton would be president. That is what was thought, you know, of everybody, basically all the punditry thought that this is what was going to happen. Instead, ba-ba boom, bada bang, the Republicans win everything. And I don't know where I come from. When you win, you act like you win. And they're so hangdog about this. And the reason is that they have lost. For many of them, it is a loss that Trump became president. Because he is a challenge and an affront to everything that they hold sacred and dear. Now, I'm reminded a great illustration of this being represented in popular media for me is House of Cards. Aren't we due, by the way, for when's that being released? Do we know? I got to get my fix. Of course, what's going to happen is House of Cards will come out, and then I'm going to disappear for 2 days, and reemerge having seen it all. May, it's coming up. Well, Frank Underwood, right? He's the main character, played by Kevin Spacey. And he's a congressman. He's a congressman from South Carolina, but he's a big muckety-muck in the Democratic Party. No accident, I would say. So the show creators have him living in this beautiful Georgetown townhome. Georgetown is a really fancy district, part of, you know, Washington, D.C., where a lot of very wealthy liberals live. If you look at the house, it's probably an $8 million house. I mean, there are Georgetown property. If you buy a nice house in Georgetown, it can cost you north of $10 million. Very expensive real estate. But he's just a congressman, right? He's a congressman. We don't know the whole story about how and why and whatnot. But there's a great scene, and I think it happens in season 3. Where he goes back to his district, right? These are the people that he's supposed to represent, right? I mean, it's where he gets elected every 2 years. He goes back to his district, and it's the 5th Congressional District, Gaffney, right? Gaffney, South Carolina, where they've got the Peachoid Tower, the water tower that looks like a peach. He goes back to his district, and and he goes and sees his, he goes to his house with his wife, Claire. And the house that they, you know, quote unquote live in, but never visit in their district, is just a very modest suburbia house. Very, very plain, very basic. And it's actually kind of run down. And the point that the show creators wanted to make there, in case you missed it, was they wanted to show how this, this is what a lot of people in Congress do. Their real base, their real new hometown is Washington, D.C. Our founders never intended this. They didn't want hometown Washington, D.C. congressmen and senators. It's not the plan. And Trump is the ultimate outsider. He threatens the hometown business as usual. And they don't like it. Republican, Democrat alike. All right. More on this when we come back. Short break, but first we have my friend John Wolf with the news.
Talk radio,
talk radio.
790 KABC.
All right, we are live back. Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And exactly to my point, there's apparently some comments today from RNC Chair Ronna Romney McDaniel. Now, here's what she said. She says, look, I think that part of our communication to our lawmakers is what we're seeing on the ground. I was part of the Trump movement. Now, this is the RNC chair saying this. I was part of the Trump movement in Michigan, and I know that our voters are going to hold us accountable in 2018 if we do not keep the campaign promises that were made. See this? This is, and she is spot on. 100% nailed it. Do you see how this, though, does not fit in with the conventional narratives that Republicans must distance themselves from Trump in order to win in 2018? Right? How many times have you heard that in the media? So you understand the absurdity of it where you say, you know, if you want to win as a Republican, for example, the race in Georgia, I mean, they're already telling that Karen lady, look, you got to... If you just got to distance yourself from Trump. But Trump won that district. It's a conservative district. What are these people smoking? Do you see what it is? Why would you take advice from the people that have consistently got it so wrong and have an agenda? You want to know how tone deaf, by the way, these the Democrats are? Here is Chuck E. Cheese Schumer. This is today, earlier today, holding a press conference, giving Senate's, or his at least, view, the Democratic conference's view on what he wants to see done with the wall.
Senator McConnell wanted me to negotiate the wall with President Trump. I said to him two things. First, it's not a negotiation, no wall. And second, I said, only you can persuade him that he shouldn't do the wall because it'll cause a government shutdown. And I don't know if Senator McConnell played a role. If he did, more power to him. If he didn't, I'm glad it worked out. Look, Democrats have always been for border security. We just think the wall made no sense.
That last statement is one part total BS and one part total truth. First of all, I'll start with the BS. Democrats have always been for border security. Yeah, not true. Look, for Democrats, lots and lots of poor people coming over the border means what? Political strength. Of course, you know this. I know this opinion, of course, is considered racist in some, you know, places in WeHo and Santa Monica. But it's true. For Democrats, political strength through lots and lots of immigration coming from south of the border, these people eventually will vote, whether legally or not, and represent strength in numbers for the Democratic Party, period. Now, the second part of what he said there at the end is true, 100%. Chuck E. Cheese Schumer was right when he said, we just think the wall made no sense. Well, no duh, Sherlock. Of course you Democrats don't think the wall makes any sense. And why you lost to a candidate who campaigned on a promise to build it. That's why you lost. It wasn't the Ruskies. It wasn't Wobbles, although Wobbles did have a lot to do with it. It was because voters want this. And just because your constituency in New York doesn't get it, I'm telling you, Americans want a wall. They want a secure border. We are a compassionate country. We believe in immigration, but we expect it to be legal. That's the story there. So, of course, you think it doesn't make any sense. Obvious statement of the century. Back right after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Yeah, Sam Rejofsky here. Back behind the microphone here in the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain, having so much fun. Rarely wrong, but always right. You know, there are other aspects today of Trump's agenda that are moving forward, or at least seem to be. Big tax plan unveiled. Nice reductions in the top income and corporate tax rates. The corporate tax rate, by the way, we had one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. That's lowered down to 15% from 35%. I think that's a great move. Robbie is pumping his fist up in the air. You can't see it, but I can. This is very good news. Look, this means that the company you work for gets to keep more of its dollars and spend more money on you. I always explain it this way. You work at a business. They raise taxes on that business. What is that business going to do? You think the guy at the top that owns the business is going to, you know, sell his yacht? No. That's not how it works. The guy at the top is going to keep his yacht. Guess what he's going to do? You work with three people, he's going to fire one of them. And you and the bozo sitting next to you, you guys are going to be doing the work of three people. Welcome to life under the Democratic Party. Democratic voters never get this. It's always about hose the rich guy. And then they're left totally screwed. Anyway, this is good news. I look forward to seeing this develop. Also, little bit of news out about the Freedom Caucus. Remember the guys that were obstructing the Trump agenda with, threatening to put the kibosh on the Ryan Care plan? And I thought that was great news because not all obstruction to Trump is bad. I want the people that are keeping Trump honest and keeping Trump's feet to the fire when it comes to his campaign promises. I like those guys in Congress. So the Freedom Caucus, of course, is pushing to make sure that the Ryan Care plan wasn't just another, rebadged Obamacare. And they've made a small change to the Ryan Care plan that empowers states to make modifications to the law. So individual states can change the law a little in certain key ways that will help customize them based on those individual markets. I think it's a good thing. Obviously, I think that more power ought to be returned to the states. So now with the Freedom Caucus on board, all that boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo about Trump not even being able to pass a repeal of Obamacare, I don't know. It's a tired narrative. This is a process. The 100 days thing is sort of an artificial marker anyway. I think this is all good. But remember, The border wall is huge, and Trump is promising to get it done and to take care of it. So, yeah. Do we have time for Rick? Are you there? Is Rick available?
I'm right here.
Rick, hey, I got 30 seconds. Just real quick, the Democrats have redefined illegal immigration?
Oh, of course. If you break into this country, you don't come in by legal means, you're not documented. Once you get in, if you don't break any laws, you know what? You're not really an illegal immigrant anymore. You're just kind of an undocumented worker or undocumented immigrant. This is the new definition of illegal immigration. They kind of conveniently forget that it's actually against the law to break into this country. Hello?
Absolutely. 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 And Rick, I always love hearing from you, man. Hope you're doing well. Thank you. Thank you for that. I'll tell you exactly this. You're right. You're right because, and that's the sneaky thing. See, you heard the transition from illegal immigrant to undocumented worker. Does that remind you of climate change? It used to be global warming. Words mean things. And I understand that this is a party that throws around Nazi like it's a party favor at a bar mitzvah. But look, I'm telling you, okay, the Democrats have absolutely no idea what words mean. They throw things around like it's nothing. So I tell you what, I'll be back right after this. And I got to tell you about Sweet James. Back right after this. Sam Rejofsky, over and out.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is. 790,
790, 790, 790. KABC. Sam Rejofsky here. Okay. Look, I think that the Democrats are always giving things away, freebies. Right. I mean, they take money out of our paychecks, right, and then give it away to other people. It's the standard modus operandi of our friends on the left. But do you know what I think every person deserves? And I know Sweet James would agree with me on this, by the way. I think every person deserves a free consultation with a good lawyer. Because if you've been in an accident, if you've been injured, if you are hurt, and somebody else is responsible, right? Personal responsibility. It's kind of what we preach here on the program. It is our ethos as conservatives. As reasonable people on the right? Well, guess who doesn't like personal responsibility? Insurance companies. They want to weasel out of it every single time. I promise you this. So don't let them. But remember, it all starts with the consultation. It starts with a phone call. And the phone call with James is always free. Attorney Sweet James Bergner, the guy we trust here on the program, a great lawyer, a good person, and he will be your defender when needed. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021 is the phone number, or you can visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation in the house, rounding out another great hour of radio. And, I don't mind telling you, personal today, a milestone for me. I actually sent my son his first email, or my first email to my son, I should say. And it was kind of a weird thing because I don't know, Daniel's 9. So I know there's some kids that already have cell phones at this age. I'm trying to hold that off for as long as possible. But now I set up his email for him on his own login on the family computer at home. So he can go in and there's different users and got all the parental controls on it and all that good stuff. So today I got a car email from one of the dealerships that sends me stuff, hoping that I would, that I'll buy something nice. And this happened to be for a Ferrari Enzo. Now, do you know these cars sold new for $1 million? And that was 10 years ago. I'm trying to think, how old are these things now? 10 years, maybe a little bit older. And this thing, this one, the email that I got, $3.4 million. wrap your head around that. I mean, what? And this isn't that great? You drive a car for 10 years? I mean, I guess that not really, because there's not a lot of miles on it, but it actually appreciates that much. Just interesting. So I sent, my son loves Ferraris, so I sent him an email today. And I keep texting my wife, hey, did he get the email? Did he get it? No response. Well, all right. Daniel, if you're listening, check your email. Well, look, it's Trump's got to figure this thing out. He's got to keep his promises. I've always said this. The relationship that he has with the voters, only he can damage it. It can't be damaged by the media, because God knows the media did not. Although they put up a valiant effort during the election, were not able to get between Trump and his voters. So that's not happening. And Congress, you guys are losers, okay? And nobody cares. What is their approval rating is in the teens? I mean, just bottom of the barrel. No, this whole thing is up to Trump. Trump will determine his own fate, period. And we here on the program will keep him honest and his feet to the fire. That much I can guarantee you. All right. We're done. I can't believe just fastest hour in radio. I swear to goodness. I'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Looking forward to it. Have a great night. Talk to you later. Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop, chop, it says I'm gonna win big. Choose not the life of imitation. Distant us into the reservation. Three bumps of pistol that you pay for. This pump will be... Talk. Radio 790. KABC.